All right, take your Bibles and turn over to the book of, we'll start 1 Peter tonight. We'll be brief. I'm going to try to give some of the introduction to the next section that we're going to be dealing with in the home. And we're dealing with the husband is to dwell with his wife according to knowledge is what we're going to start. I'm going to kind of give the introduction tonight. And then hopefully next time we meet in this study, it'll be starting to go over some of the points for it. So the husband is to dwell with his wife according to knowledge. We've been dealing with the husband. Again, that's where everything starts. And so that's where we're starting tonight is in the home is with the husband. And we'll work our way through the other members of the home as we go through here. And sometimes as we go through here, we mention things about the wives in passing. But it's to encourage and let the husband know that he has a lot of responsibility to try to make sure his home is that way. And so sometimes there's things that are not right in her part of the marriage, but it's because of the husband. And so the husband needs to make sure he's got these things right. So we're going to read a few verses here and kind of go over an introduction to this next part. And again, I probably won't be long tonight. The Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 1, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands." Well, it starts off with likewise. And so in doing that, it means that it's carrying over from the previous chapter. The previous chapter, starting in verse number 13 of chapter 2, going down through verse 25, it's dealing with submission. And just as Brother Brian was just talking about the relationship between a worker and those kind of things in the boss, and this has to do with submission to rulers, those that have the rule over you. And it's dealing with all those things, and it ends up there in verse 25. And then it says, "Likewise, ye wives," again, going back to submission. Everyone has a place in the church and in the home, in a place where they need to submit to someone and find their place so that God will be pleased with it and bless it. So it's likewise, ye wives, being subject to your own husbands. I'm not going to go over all this right now because we're going to be dealing with the wives later on. But it's very important to being subject to your own husband. "That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." So if you have an unbelieving husband, then through your conversation and through your obedience to God and being in subjection to him, he can be won. That's what this verse says. And you say, "Well, I don't believe it." Well, just try it. Amen. You got to obey and trust God. "While they behold," again, talking about the husbands watching their wives, "while they behold your chaste conversation," that's your life, that's your communication, your life that you live before them, "coupled with fear." What's the fear? In the fear of God, "whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because we're going to deal with the wives later. But if you're trying to win a husband over to the Lord and you don't have a meek and quiet spirit and you're always arguing with everything he tries to do. And I realize sometimes it's not always the thing that you think is right, but you're not going to win him over that way. I mean, the scriptures are clear here on trying to submit to him and trying to please the Lord in those areas. And I'll talk about some of that again here in a little while. It says here in verse number 4, "but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." So God sees a meek and quiet spirit as a great price. "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God or adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." All right, so I read all that to get to this. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as under the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." There's a lot of verses in the Bible that talks about your prayers being hindered. And this is one of them, that if you're not right in your marriage with your wife and you're not dwelling with them according to knowledge, your prayers can be hindered. I mean, it's just, it flat out says it right there. I'm not making that up. And so in order for our prayers not to be hindered, we need to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. And the Bible says they are the weaker vessel. And that does not mean that they're any less of a person or any less of a human being, or that they're a servant, or that they are working for you in the house. Amen. It just means they are the weaker vessel. And we'll cover a little bit of that as we go through here. But we all know that there are differences, physical differences, among other differences, emotional, physical differences between a man and a woman. Like I think we all know that here. There might be some settings that we would talk in that they might not understand those things. So you have to explain it to them that men and women are different. Amen. That's why you can't let men play women's sports and women play, you know, I told y'all before, I don't remember what it was last Sunday or whenever it was that, you know, the women's rights movement has said, hey, it's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. We ought to be able to do everything the men are doing. But then they had a man who said, I'm a woman and participated in women's sports. And now he's winning everything. And they're like, well, that's not, no, don't say it's not fair. Amen. There are evident differences, and it ought to be that way. There ought to be a difference. God cares about identity. He created male and female, and he intended for them to be different. And that's why a woman should dress like a woman. And that's why a man should dress like a man. That's why the Bible says over 1 Corinthians, I believe 13 or 14, somewhere in there, that a woman's hair is given to her as a covering. Her hair is given to her as a covering. It ought to be that way. Whenever you see somebody walking down the road, you ought to be able to say, that's a woman. And in the day and age we live in, man, you don't know. You can see long flowing hair, amen, and see a tight pair of pants or whatever and say, man, that woman's, and then turn around, whoa, it's got a beard. Amen. And then you can see somebody walking down the road like, man, I wouldn't want to scrap with that guy. Come to find out it's not a guy. It's identity. They're trying to erase God. And God made him male and female. We know there's differences. We understand that. There's emotional, physical, mental differences. Yet God told the man here in this passage that he should understand his wife. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. So a lot of men would say, you cannot know a woman. That's what they would say. You say, man, no man could ever. And there's things that I don't think I'll ever fully. And I don't want to know. I'm thankful I'm a man. Amen. And, you know, going through three children and childbirth, I thank the Lord. And God made her to be able to do that. And we're going to cover some of that here. But I'm thankful that I'm not a woman. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I saw something the other day where had a picture of a guy. I think it was Chuck Norris or somebody. And he said, I was a man trapped in a woman's body. And I got out 9 months later. That's about as far as it goes. And so I'm thankful that I'm not. But the Bible says to dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, if God tells you to dwell with them according to knowledge, men, it means that you can do that. God is not going to tempt you above that you're able. He didn't say, dwell with them according to knowledge, and good luck, fellas. Because when he created woman, he created a very complicated, precious thing. Amen. And so he told us to dwell with them according to knowledge. Now you say, well, what kind of knowledge do we have to understand? Well, can I tell you that everything you need to know is in here? Everything you need to know is in here. You can understand and dwell with your wife according to knowledge from the Word of God. He's not going to leave you hanging. The Bible, he's going over Proverbs, man, wisdom, knowledge, wisdom. And he tells us, and we're going to start going over some of these things, dwelling with him according to knowledge, and you'll be amazed to see how much of it or all of it is found in the Word of God. And you can parallel it with what you're dealing with, and it makes sense. You say, well, it's right there. And so we're going to go through there and look at those things. Turn over to Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Dwell with them according to knowledge. The Bible says enough about men and women for either one of them to understand the other. God designed and made he male and female, and God authored the Bible. Amen? We have the instruction manual straight from the Creator. We have it right here, so we can understand. Now, when he tells us to do that, he tells us to dwell with them according to knowledge. That is not that is not a suggestion, husband. That's not a suggestion. That's not a, it's not a game. It's something he's telling us to do. It is doctrine. Doctrine, we take doctrine very, very serious, man. We believe, you know, when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to the fundamentals of the faith, the doctrine, the King James Bible that we stand on, we take those things very seriously. Well, when he tells us to dwell with him according to knowledge, that's doctrine. And we ought to take that just as serious as we do everything else. And so look here in Titus chapter 2, verse 1. He's about to discuss the church. And he's going to discuss different individuals in the church and families and family affairs. And look what he says in verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become what? Sound doctrine. And then he's going to go through and start talking about the aged women and the aged men and the younger women and the younger men and how they ought to handle their things at the house. Those are sound doctrine. And there's a lot of churches and maybe even preachers that they've got what they believe is doctrine down. Man, we've got this and this, but when it comes to this, their doctrine's way off. And if you're not practicing sound doctrine, then what does that make you? A heretic, right? I'm going to show you a verse on that too in just a second. It makes you a heretic. So you said, what are you trying to get at, Brother Andrew? I'm trying to tell you that God tells us we can dwell with him according to knowledge, and he's going to show us how to do that, and that's doctrine. And we ought to have that right in our home. Husbands, it falls on us. He speaks here of sound doctrine. Let's read the verses. Titus chapter 2, verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women ought likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Say, what's that? That's not talking back. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Every time he deals with submission, he deals with every aspect of submission. He deals with the husband, the wife, the employee, the employer, the master, the servant, all those things he deals with. When he deals with it, everybody's got their place, and when they get out of line is when things go awry. And so Bible believers, we're interested in doctrine, and we see here that this is doctrine in the area of understanding our wives in the home. Everything that we've been teaching and going through in the home and the order of the home, that is doctrine. And we have to have that right in our home in order for God to be pleased with it. The verse tells us here about the women being taught to teach them to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. All those things are things the churches are instructed to do. And I don't see it going on a whole lot in churches across America anymore. One of the reasons is you can't tell a young person anything, right? You try to tell them, you try to instruct them. I mean, I remember growing up when we were young at the church we went to there in Ohio, that they would have ladies meetings where they would bring in the younger ladies and they would teach them things. They would teach them how to love their children, how to love their husbands, and how to sew and how to cook and how to do things to help be a keeper at their home. And in doing that, they were being obedient to the scriptures. But you don't see that very much anymore. Amen. You don't see it very much at all. And maybe we ought to try to put something together for the, we got a lot of young mothers here, and try to put something together where some of the Bible calls them aged women, not me. Some of the aged women can teach them how to do some things. Amen. I think it would be good for them to learn. But the thing is, they get offended. They get offended so easily. And so, the Bible says, if you love the this book, nothing shall offend you. Amen. The words of the Lord. And so, it tells them to be obedient to their own husbands. And those are things that are, that ought to be taught. And I realize some women have to work in the home, and but they still should be obedient to their husband before anything. And the best case scenario is they don't have to work. They be at home. I believe that's what the Lord would be pleased with, and raise their children and educate them and those things. And I believe the Bible has a lot to speak about that as well. We'll get into some of that later on. I know some cases they said they have to work, and you know, they got credit cards and two or three vehicles and TVs and houses and all those things. And so everybody in the house has to work, including the dog. But we're not supposed to be servants to the masters either. I mean, we shouldn't be servants to God, and we can't serve MasterCard and God. We can't serve debt and God. But sometimes people get themselves in that position. The wife has to work. But if that is the case, you know, it's best to try to work away from that. And then also, if that's the case, you still obey your own husband. A lot of ladies get in trouble when they start listening to their boss over their husband. And God is not pleased with that. Turn over to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Society today, though, teaches that, again, that they say men and women are equal, and they try to make them equal in every way, and, you know, try to say that she needs to be career. And now you have commercials on TV where the man is at home doing laundry. He's at home with the kids, chasing kids around and doing laundry, and she's the career woman. You know what they've done? They've taken the order that God has, and they've reverse the whole thing. That's right. And they've got it all messed up, and then try to figure out why God's not blessing the home or God's not blessing the church. We've got it all backwards. All right. Again, Ephesians chapter 5, all these verses are dealing with this area of submission. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Again, your own husbands. Not you're not meant to be in submission to anyone else except for your own husband, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, again, we're not talking about the wives yet. We're talking about the husbands. But a lot of times, the wife cannot be in submission to her husband in everything because he's not taking responsibility for everything. The responsibility ought not to be shoved off on her. Now, you might delegate some of that responsibility. If you're not at home and she's there, then you delegate some of the responsibility of discipline, and you make sure that's being done and that the child's honoring his mother and obeying and all those kind of things. But there's a lot of husbands, they don't want to take on any responsibility, so she has to take it all on. And so in doing that, she can't obey God because you won't let her. Does that make sense? Amen. And then it says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And you can continue reading all the way down to verse 33 when you got time. It continues to talk about the husband loving his wife, even his own body, and taking care of her like he would himself. But he's instructed here to love his wife. That is doctrine. That's instruction to a husband. That's doctrine. And if that, any kind of doctrine in the Bible, Fisher is teaching on Calvinism in Sunday school. And so I'm letting each of the young men teach for a few weeks before we come into Brother Heitch's class. And he's teaching on that. And you know what he's going over? He's going over doctrine of salvation, of true biblical salvation, saying, hey, these heretics, they got it wrong. They're teaching salvation wrong. And so and when we do that, it's a Bible study. Amen. Anytime when Brother Heitch gets up during Sunday school and he's teaching doctrine, and it takes study. You study doctrine, you study and you research and you do the things and you find it in there and you study. So if that's doctrine, if the gospel, and as clear as the gospel is, it's so clear to me, I don't understand how they got it all wrong, man, because they mess it up big time. A lot of people do. But we study the gospel and we go through there and we can teach on it. Well, the Bible says for husbands to love their wives and dwell with them according to knowledge. Do you think that's something that could be studied also? He tells them to dwell with them according to knowledge. That's something that absolutely can be studied. Christians study other doctrines, so this one should not be ignored either. We need to study those things as well. Ephesians chapter 5, again, over and over again, we see the order that God has for the church and the order that God has for the home. And if we're not ruling our own house well, then we're in trouble. We don't take care of our own, our family, then the Bible says you're worse than an infidel. All right, I want to look at something here real quick. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm gonna go over just a few quick things here that is instructed for a pastor, for a preacher. Okay? He's given instruction for the qualifications for a bishop. Now, these qualifications given for a bishop, you say, well, that's supposed to be for a pastor. What's wrong with these qualifications being for every Christian? Amen? A child of God. And the pastor needs to have those qualifications because he's leading his church. But he's leading his church by example that the church is supposed to follow. He teaches the things that God gives him. He teaches the instruction, the doctrine, and all those things. And in return, the church is supposed to follow. I mean, he's supposed to be a leader. Paul said, follow me even as I follow Christ. I know I butchered that, but it's something like that, right? He said, follow me even as I follow Christ. And so as a pastor, I get up and I preach on things and I preach against things that I believe the scriptures say. And in return, the church is supposed to follow. And so as he's given the qualifications for a bishop, these ought to be things that every man in here would desire to have in his home. I believe that it ought to, because you know what you are? You're the bishop of your home. You're the priest. You're the pastor of your home. And so these things are very important to make sure we keep in line with the scriptures in your home. And if we fail to practice the things that God tells us to do, and again, we talked about doctrine. If we're not obeying the word of God, then what we're doing is considered false doctrine. The Bible says over there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, it talks about that man that that teaches a false doctrine. It's not a good thing. He talks about heretics and all those things. And so we ought to have a home that pleases him. A pastor is supposed to be an example. And so he goes through here. So let's look at it in the light of men being the pastor of their home or following the pastor of a church. You got here, and it says in verse number 2, a bishop must be blameless, okay? So husband, look at this thing as we're going down through here. A husband must be blameless. Blameless does not mean faultless, sinless, or flawless. It's not what it means. It doesn't mean sinless. It doesn't mean flawless, and it doesn't mean faultless. It simply means that he pays his bills, he lives a clean life, and he does right. Amen? He's blameless. He's not late on his payments. He does. I mean, he's a man that keeps his word and all those things. There's nothing going on in his life that's going to bring blame and reproach on him in his life. It says a bishop must give no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 3. So the ministry cannot be blamed. All right, husband, is your life lived in such a way that you cannot bring blame to your family, to your home, to your wife, to your children? Amen. Just like a church would be for a pastor. These are things we got to think about. It says that the pastor should be a husband of one wife. We've kind of covered a lot of that. The bishop, a pastor of a home, is supposed to be given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. Well, that's sound doctrine for the home also. Having a home that's given to hospitality. There's different examples you could give in a home. There's two biblical illustrations given of hospitality in here in the Bible. We're not going to go look at it for sake of time, but Genesis chapter 18. If you go look it up in Genesis 18, when God came to Abraham, when the angels of God came to Abraham's home, he invited them in to stay for lunch. Y'all remember that story? Anybody? All right, in Genesis chapter 18, he invited them in to come for lunch. He turned around and told his wife Sarah what to cook them, what to make for lunch, how much to make, and he told her to do it quickly. Okay? You want to see a contrast of that in Scripture? That Abraham had a home that was in order with God. I mean, he went out and picked out a wife for his son. Like that whole house was in submission to God. And the contrast to that is when the angels showed up to Lot's house, Lot brought him in and Lot made the bread. Lot did the cooking. Amen. But his home was all out of whack. He had sons-in-laws and daughters that were not right with God. He had two daughters that knew no men, but he gave them to the wicked men of Sodom. That whole home was messed up. And I just like going back to the commercials you see on television now where the man's in there cooking and he's in there doing washing the dishes and doing all. There's nothing wrong with helping your wife do those things. Amen? But that is her responsibility to keep the home. But we got the whole order reversed today. And there's two illustrations in the Bible. And Lot probably couldn't have told his wife to go make some food. He probably couldn't have said, hey, we got visitors. We need you to cook. Because she would have gave him an earful. Yeah, she didn't. That's right. They told her. Yeah, he told her. They told her, we got to get out of town. And she disobeyed and ended up becoming a deer salt lick. There's an illustration given here that Pastor Lot took his evangelist guest to Kentucky Fried Chicken so the little woman wouldn't have to cook. That's not hospitality. Amen. Again, nothing wrong with helping. Amen. And but there's a difference in helping and her being submissive and saying, hey, I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to find my place in the home. And so God, again, if you go over and read, where is it? 1 Timothy chapter 5, I think, where it talks about the widow woman, how she opened her home and she was hospitable. Y'all remember that over there where he's talking about taking care of the widows and the widows indeed? She opened her home. She was hospitable too. And those are things that ought to be in your home. So husbands, is it that way? And you say, well, it's not. I would never have somebody come to my house to visit. Well, it shouldn't be that way. Amen, Ms. Hodge? It should never be that way. We should be allowed to come over to her house and eat fritters. And so, hey, man. But I'm just messing with her. I know I could go over there wherever I want. I know where the key is. But our homes ought to be that way. You say, man, I wouldn't want nobody to come to my house. Why? Because there's kids hanging off the chandeliers. They're tearing the paint off the wall. They're coloring all over everything. Amen. My wife's yelling and screaming at me. I wouldn't want nobody to come to my house. So what do I do? Start working on it. Get right with God and start. It needs to be a hospitable place. And it talks about having your family and your home in order and ruling your children well. I could give you an example of a missionary that came to our church and he did his presentation. He did a great job. Afterwards, I talked to Brother Hunter. I said, man, I think we might take this guy on for support. And then I went and ate with him over at the Hodges house. And his daughter, man, she had her daughter and his wife. Every time he talked, she corrected him. Every time. Every time he would say something, she would correct him and she would talk over him the entire meal. And his daughter was outside with my kids showing them things that no kid should ever be allowed to do on a device. And she was talking bad about her parents to them. And it was bad. So I pulled him outside. I said, hey, buddy, you know that support we were talking about? It ain't happening. I said, you're about to take your family to a mission field, and you've got a problem. Your wife's out of line. Your children are out of line. And he lost support over that. He got mad at me. He's like, I don't see nothing. I said, every time you spoke, She ran all over you. Y'all remember that? Sitting at the table, man. That's a bad thing right there. And so you ought to have your home in line. And we're going to get on the wives later, but wives, even if your husband is dead wrong, do not correct him in front of anybody. When you get home, you can say, hey, I'd like to talk about what you said because I think you were wrong. Amen. And in my case, most of the time I was wrong. Man, you were right. But don't ever correct him in front of, and we're going to go over some of that later. I'm not getting on the wives yet, but don't do that. God's not pleased with that, even if he's wrong. And God will show it if he's wrong. And so we'll go over some of that later. But 1 Timothy 3:4, one that ruleth his own house, well, his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And so, again, having your home in order, having a home that God is pleased with. There's more illustrations in the Bible. You can go read in Exodus chapter 4 with Moses. Moses, God sent him out to go to Egypt and deliver Israel. In Exodus chapter 4, Moses was surrendered. He was commissioned. He had power to work miracles. He did all those things. But then in Exodus 4:24, it said God sought to kill him. So, what in the world? Moses, you got the power. God commissioned you. He sent you to go out as a missionary to deliver Egypt. But it said God sought to kill him. You know why God sought to kill him? Because his son had not been circumcised according to the law. He didn't have his home in order. There were some things at his house that were not right. And until he got those things right, God could not use him. He had not brought his son under the Abrahamic covenant. He did not rule his own house well. And I believe actually in that verse that his wife ended up getting mad at him and calling him a bloody man and all that stuff. You remember that? His home was not in order. His home and Abraham's home are two different things, two different pictures in the Bible. And so his wife ended up getting all over him, jumping all over him. So Moses, in the ministry, neglected the spiritual side of his family, life. And men, if you want to try to be an influence in the church, a pillar in the church, you have to have your family in line first. You're not going to be able to help the church if your family's not. And everything's not going to be perfect all the time. God knows that. Amen. That's why he gave us the throne of grace to go talk to. Amen. Try to get right with him. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Amen. And so we can go to him, but our heart ought to be in the right place. If we mess up, if it's not right, our heart ought to be in the right place to get right with him. And so next time we come on this, there's going to be a few Wednesdays I'm going to have to miss for work. I apologize for that, but I'm trying to provide for my family. Amen. And so we've got some men here that do a great job, and I appreciate them that fill in. But next time we visit this, we're gonna start on dwelling with the wife according to knowledge. And I went over that introduction tonight, but we're going to start going over the individual things that we can do to dwell with her according to knowledge. All right, let's stand.